consecutive time in the last six seasons, the Dutch are the champions.
This is Gary O'Neill to win it.
They've got it! Terrific header, Callum Robinson, super ball in.
Great feeling, we have to treasure these nights.
Hello and welcome to the RTE Soccer Podcast. I'm James O'Toole, and with me today I have two gentlemen who know a thing or two about being the perfect host, so I might be able to get some tips later on after the show. Broadcast and commentator Des Curran, and another broadcaster and commentator with a bit of football thrown in as well, Conan Byrne. Welcome along, guys.
How's things?
All good, James.
Fantastic. Right, we may as well just jump straight into the action this week, and we look back to last Tuesday's game away in Hungary for Dundalk in an unfortunate loss in the Champions League. Conan, your thoughts on this one?
Look, it was very disappointing, wasn't it? Three mistakes cost Dundalk dearly, I suppose. A lot of people were talking about Brian Gartland, and he was at fault for the first goal. I disagree. I think maybe with a bit more first team games behind him, he might have been able to handle the situation better. But the back pass didn't help. The attacking player was very, very quick, and I thought Gary Rogers actually was a bit reactive to the ball going past him. And then the second and third goals, look, Sean Hoare is a terrible ball across his own area, and then the final one, Gary Rogers, of course, will be disappointed about. In terms of Dundalk, they dominated the second half. They probably should have scored if Pat Hoobin's chance off the post had gone in. I think there only would have been one winner. Selje were completely out on their feet, but their end product, James, was very, very poor. Michael Duffy hasn't been the same player this season. I don't know whether it's a lack of confidence. He's certainly not as direct as he was. He used to love taking on players, and he just doesn't do that anymore. And that's just disappointing. It's not just Michael Duffy either. Like, there's a lot of players struggling for form in that side at the moment, the likes of Sean Gannon and Dane Massey, even Gary Rogers himself. So it's just unfortunate that the loss of form is happening to these players at the same time. And as I said, on another night, if Pat Hoobin's chance had gone in, we could be looking forward to Dundalk's game against Molde. Instead, we're talking about departures and turmoils and everything.
Yeah, Des, you've been in the privileged location to commentate on several of these, like, Champions League games and European Cup games. What was your opinion of the game as you've seen it unfold in front of you?
Yeah, like Conan said, I think it's just a feeling of disappointment afterwards, a feeling of a missed opportunity, I think, from Dundalk and a League of Ireland point of view, because, you know, it was another season where we're going into it thinking, is this the year where we, you know, go through a few rounds in the Champions League? But, you know, it just wasn't to be. Not a whole lot between the teams and Dundalk. You know, in terms of a European game, you know, they had as much of the ball, I suppose, as you could have hoped for, but it's just that spark wasn't there. And I think, you know, when you look through the team now, and there have been changes, I think maybe someone on a day like that, someone like a Robbie Benson, who had that energetic presence from midfield to drive a team forward and to pop up to the penalty area and find a goal, I think he's certainly a massive loss for them this season. The first goal wasn't great, and goals two and three are kind of chasing it after that. But I just think everything around it maybe just didn't help Dundalk. You know, I know it's one thing to say, you know, as players, we can put all that behind us. We can concentrate. This is a big game, 90 minutes, you know, to get through to the next round. But I think it's got to have some sort of an effect when you're struggling and scrapping for form and you're not playing well. And maybe even more frustrating for a group of players like that to know how well they can play and to just be struggling to get back to that level.
Conan, from a player's point of view, losing a goal so close to half-time, is that as demoralising as people think it is?
I don't think so, James, being totally honest. You know what you have to do. If you go a goal behind, you go in at half-time and you regroup, and then you can get your tactics sorted for the second half to try and go out and get the goals that are needed. I agree with Des completely. I think the loss of Robbie Benson, even like Ronan Finn, when he used to play central midfield, that real dynamic midfielder that I think that they're missing at the moment, and the creativity of Jamie McGrath as well. I think that a lot of people are forgetting about the talented player that he was. But yeah, going out into the second half 1-0 down, like 10-15 minutes into that second half, Selje were out on their feet. They were really, really struggling. They were a threat, certainly, on the counter-attack. But I certainly thought they were there for the taking. And it was just, as I said, the end product was poor. Dara Lee, he snatched at a chance there that he probably should have scored. Michael Duffy, he kept passing the ball when he was in a great position to shoot himself. And that's just that lack of confidence in his play. So I felt that they certainly let that result pass them by.
Obviously, they get a flight back later on that evening through what is probably one of the worst storms we've had in a long time. But it's a bumpy ride, not just on the way home, but in 24 hours, we have the news that Vinnie Perth has lost his position within Dundalk. Was that a bit rushed, as you think, or how would you look at that as it happened?
When you look back, I think there was an interview with Vinnie was around the Waterford game, maybe before or after the Waterford game. I'm trying to remember now where. I think it was after the Waterford game and what happened with John Sheridan. He said, look, people can have a go at me if they want in terms of my position and, you know, the pressure I'm under here. So as soon as he came out with that, you know, and that was pre the European game, then you knew, obviously, there's something going on here. He knew about it. And then if he knows about it, then obviously you'd imagine the players know about it as well. So I think, unfortunately, it looked like it was coming. For whatever reason, the decision was made in the end. It looks like it was almost made before the European game was played. So there was definitely something going on. You know, the ins and outs of it, we're not entirely sure about, but it did look like it was coming for a while. And that's disappointing. I mean, you know, you go into the COVID lockdown break and, you know, OK, you've lost to Shamrock Rovers, but, you know, there's a season still there to be played. You know, at the time, we didn't know how long of a season. And I think the worry maybe from a Dundalk point of view, and maybe this had nothing to do with it, was when you look at their title wins in recent seasons, you know, there were slow starts, but they always had the ability to recover, and they did recover, and they went on and won league titles. Maybe it was the fact that there was only, you know, a dozen games or so when you came back to try and make up the ground, and they started so poorly. I was at Dalymount Park when they played Bohemians. Bohemians now were excellent, but Dundalk just weren't the Dundalk of old, and it was more points slipping away as Shamrock Rovers weren't at the time dropping points. And maybe they just, well, for me, they reacted too quickly. But again, you know, we don't know exactly what was in their mind.
And speaking of reaction, obviously, Vinnie was good enough to come on to Saturday Sport on Saturday, and he spoke to Jermaine Cantwell.
We'd have won on Wednesday night. I don't think the situation on Thursday would have been any different. I suppose if that was the case, you would understand that the club may have been looking at different options. But I don't know. It's hearsay at this stage. Be wrong in the madness of football. Be wrong to say too much, but I don't know whether Robbie was a serious candidate. I imagine in his own head, he probably has different ambitions, and I'd say he expects to be coaching what he would consider a higher level. But again, I don't know. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be privy to that information.
Did you hear any rumours or any talk about people being spoken to about your job while you were still in charge?
No, I didn't. No, absolutely. To be fair, no, absolutely no. I've no inclination or anything like that, so not at all.
Okay, well, on last night's coverage, you said there was a difference of opinion of where we are and where we need to go to move forward between you and the board, and you reckon that that was the reason why you lost your job. What are those differences of opinions? What way did you want to bring them forward, and what way did they want to bring them forward?
I suppose I believe in a lot of the group we have at Dundalk. I think if Dundalk win tonight, I think they'll go on to win the league, or there's a big chance of it, depending on who the club appoint. 8 games ago now, Dundalk had just won the league. They were a penalty kick away from winning every domestic trophy in the country. You know, they're still in Europe, still in the FAI Cup. There isn't that much. There is things that has to be fixed, like any team. We didn't start the restart that well, but we've drawn 2 games, lost one, and won another one. When you look at, I suppose, our title rivals, it's just drawn 2 games in the last sort of 7-8 days as well. So the form has been sketchy, but it's been sketchy all over Europe. But ultimately, look, your question is, what were them differences? I need to be respectful of the club. I'm technically still employed with them, but I had a different mindset and a different view on certain players within a club.
Were you being told who to select in a starting 11 or in a matchday squad?
There's no doubt it was people had opinions and opinions on the game. And look, I went out on Wednesday night in the Champions League, and it was very clear, and I picked the right team. We were very, very good. And up to me, though, we were beaten. And beaten well in the end, but very few teams, Irish teams, have ever gone into Champions League games and had 54-55% possession. The football gods didn't shine and didn't shine on me. We had some chances. I think if Pat Hogan hits the post on the 84th minute, I think if he scores that, we're going to win the game. My ultimate goal that night was to get that group over the line. leave them in the Champions League and ready to kick on. And as I said, I still think they can win the league this year. It is difficult because it's only 18 games, but Wednesday night I picked my own team.
But were you told, to pick a different team, or were you told to pick different players? Were you under pressure to do that?
No, there's no doubt there was huge discussion from board level of who players should be playing and shouldn't be playing. But I don't know whether that's common in modern day football, but one or two of them things went against my principles, and I had to stick by them in the end, ultimately.
Just because I do know you're in a very delicate position, but do you think that sticking to your guns and insisting on playing your own team, that was a large part leading to your departure as manager?
The short answer is yes, of course.
Well, there are the thoughts of Vinnie Peart on Saturday with Joanne Cantwell. Conan, what's your thoughts on that interview and obviously the situation that unfolded on Wednesday?
Obviously, he's the manager of the football club, James, and there should be absolutely no discussion on who he wants to play in his team, who wants to be in his squad, and ultimately who he wants to bring in. Now, from that interview, I listened to it yesterday. He wants to bring in his own squad of players that he thinks will win domestically and also challenge in Europe. At board level, I don't think that they think that the players in this country are able to do that, and they're probably looking to sign players in from other countries. Now, I've said before that I think that we need to do that in order to progress in Europe, so I think there's a large degree of acceptance in that, but at the same time, it's ultimately up to the manager to pick the team and to pick a squad of players. And unfortunately for Vinny, and rightly so, he stuck to his guns. He selected a team that he thought was going to win the other night, and I thought it was an excellent team. I thought it was the right team. He had a balance throughout, brought in leadership in Gartland that and I thought in the grand scheme of things that he was excellent. He had the attacking threat. And as I said, it was just a loss of form of some of the players that ultimately I felt didn't get them over the line. We have to listen to Alan Reynolds' post-match interview after the Sligo Rovers game the other night. He was asked, did he want a job? And he definitely do not want a job at all. It's I feel now that the Dundalk manager's job is a poison chalice. They're going to be looking at domestic success as a given in the hope that they can progress in Europe. And as we ultimately know, it doesn't happen that way in this country.
Yeah, doesn't it? Des, do you think Vinny was obviously as candid as he could be in that interview? But it does seem as if the pressures from above is the reason. And maybe, as you said earlier, that's kind of seeped into the squad.
Yeah, you'd think so. I mean, when you hear Vinny's last answer there, it's short and concise and to the point. You know, was the pressure being put on to play certain players? And he said, well, yes, and that was one of the reasons why he's gone. I mean, as Conan said, if you're the next manager coming in, people are going to look at you in a certain light now, because if that's out there that, you know, certain players are being picked because those up high want them picked, then people will know that maybe you're bowing to that pressure. Or, you know, the first team sheet of the new manager, if and when he's appointed, will be interesting just to see how different it is to a team that Vinny would have put out. And I'd go along with Conan. I think you look at that Dundalk team that went out. I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that team. That's strong from Gary Rogers up to Pat Hooban. It's just the form. It's the form thing that caught them. It's the fact that they weren't hitting their stride for whatever reason that might be. And then if that doubt is there, and I'm sure that the players know. I mean, Conan will tell you more than I could. The players will know if there's something going on in terms of the manager and if there's a bit of a fractious relationship with the board. The players will know that, and that's got to have an effect.
So thinking about that first team sheet, Conan, names in the hat, who would you put into that hat?
Well, I suppose the talk this morning is that they're going to be announcing a successor today. James Rogers put up a tweet today saying that it's going to be a European coming in, whoever, you know, that gives a broad range of possible candidates. But, I don't see why, the usual Keith Long. I think his name has been thrown into the hat, and why not? He's very, very ambitious. He's done an excellent job at Bowes. The club are on the rise. He brought in a very talented and hungry group. With an excellent academy system, a new stadium on the way, it'd be a huge risk to leave, wouldn't it? And I'd be very surprised if he wasn't approached. But if I was Keith Long, I'd be going nowhere. I think Bowes are as I said, on a club on the up, and wonderful opportunity to go on and win this league, to be totally honest with you. And if that's, as I said before, it's a poison chalice. And if I was in a steady job in as a manager, I wouldn't be going near the Dundalk job.
We heard talk of Robbie Keane over the weekend as well, one of our greatest ever players, goal scorers. This would be his first manager's job at Dundalk. I think it would belittle the League of Ireland, being totally honest, if he'd given it, because he'd be given it just by his name. As I said, he was assistant to Jonathan Woodgate at Middlesbrough, and that didn't go too well. Stephen Kenny didn't want him as part of his team. So I just don't understand why Dundalk would want him. I think he needs to prove himself as a coach and a manager before he gets a job like that. And some people might say, well, the likes of Stephen O'Donnell and Ian Morris and Tim Clancy, well, they got jobs out of it. Yeah, but they know the League of Ireland. Robbie Keane doesn't. I mentioned Tom Moen. Again, fantastic success underage. Definitely the right personality and character to take this team on, given the circumstances at the moment involved in the club. But again, I wouldn't recommend it to him. And then like the usual, like Harry Kenny, Paul Doolan, Jair Nash, he was somebody that Pats were interested in before Stephen O'Donnell. Would he be interested in the Dundalk job? I don't know. Yeah, so there's plenty of people. Like there was even talk of Glentoran manager Mick McDermott, the Irish Cup winning manager at Glentoran. But he's a director of that club up there. He brought in Iranian investors and who Mick met when he was working with the Iranian national team. That's another club on the rise. They won their Europa League tie last week, and I don't see him going anywhere. So you don't know. And I do feel, even before that tweet came out this morning by James, I really do feel that they would have gone for somebody in maybe England or beyond, in the hope that they think that they'll get to this Champions League Holy Grail. But I don't see them winning the league this year. I think I'll see them in the Europa League next year. And that person who's going to get the job, James, I wish him well, but I don't think it would go well.
Yeah, obviously Robbie Keane has completely dismissed the case that he wants the job at all. But we did actually put a question to Keith Long after his game on Saturday against St. Pat's about the job, and this is what Keith had to say.
Well, listen, I suppose speculation is only natural when a job becomes available. I suppose first and foremost, it's disappointing to see another man lose his job like Vinnie Peart and the association that he's had and the job that he's done at Dundalk. So I think that has to be recognised too. So that's all speculation. You know, I'm contracted to the Bohemians. I'm the manager of this club, and you know, we're getting on with our jobs.
A very blustery Dairymount Park. He was caught up on there, Des. That's Keith ruled out. That's as Conan's mentioned, James put up a tweet today about an international manager who should be announced by the end of business today. I couldn't even have a guess at who they could be looking at, could you?
No, if that's the case, and you know, James would be well in the know up there, then you could run through any number of Irish managers, and you know, it's not going to come to anything. Vinny was at that club, was it seven, eight years thereabouts? He knew the club inside out, so again, going down that road of, you know, are they going to replace him with someone who's attached to the club, who knows the club? That wouldn't make much sense, would it? If you're looking at the soundings, and it's all about, you know, they want the club to be successful in Europe, that, you know, that's where success is, that's where the money is, and that's where they want to be, then, you know, it's going to be, as I said, a European manager, someone, I don't know, do you get some guy who's an underage manager at one of the big European clubs or something like that, you know? Hansi Flick has a European Cup in his back pocket now. Is he going to move on? You know, joking aside, though, this is a really puzzling one. And you know, if the announcement's going to be made today, it's going to be very interesting to see who ends up there. Because as we said, if as Vinny suggested, or you know, hinted towards, or even said that, you know, there is interference from higher up in the club in terms of team selection, then you know, can a person go in there and say, look, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm going to pick my team, and that's the way it's going to be. I think your hand is weakened straight away there.
Yeah, from that Wednesday evening of turmoil to back to the league, and where they need to qualify for the Champions League and hopefully catch up on Shamrock Rovers if it's possible. They then get the easy trip of going to Sligo on Saturday evening, and it just seems like, as you said, the form doesn't seem to be there, and it was proven again on Saturday, a 3-1 loss to Sligo Rovers. Here's the thoughts of Liam Buckley after that game.
Oh, we've done well, in fairness. We've sat back quite a bit now in the second half. Probably a little bit too much for me liking, but nonetheless, it's a great result, in fairness.
But you were able to hit them on the break when you did that and looked really threatening.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, we have some quick lads in the team and we've took our goals well. We've had one or two other really good chances to nail it. But listen, I'm just delighted that we've picked up a win against Dundalk. There's not too many teams will do that.
Bucco, as effusive as he ever is there after that, Conan, the 3-1 scoreline may not reflect this game all the way it is. They had a good chance early on to go 1-0 up. They've obviously missed a penalty. But the goals are letting in, like the Donlan free kick, for instance, it's not the kind of goal that Dundalk of the past would have let in.
No, absolutely not. And again, Gary Rogers, he should be covering that side. And he didn't ultimately. He probably thought that Regan Donlan was going to go over the wall. But you have to trust your wall in that case. So yeah, it's not a... those goals very rarely go in by any keeper, being totally honest with you, James. So he'll be very disappointed with that. But I don't think we're giving Sligo the credit that they deserve for their performance. I think that I thought that they were superb. They look strong. The passing style now is a trademark of Buckley. We've seen it for the last decade. Their attacking threat is just fierce. De Vries Jr. I think Ronan Coughlin has been excellent. Jesse Devers has been very, very good. And then you have Ronan Murray that can't get into the team as well. So I think that they've been very, very good. And defensively, I felt that they struggled early on. But they've brought in, like, Lewis Banks is back from injury. Penningkangas, the Finnish player. Kyle Callum McFadden came back in. I thought he was very good. And then that's leaving John Dunleavy, John Mahan and Danny Kane out of the team, you know. So I do think Sligo are very, very strong. I think they have a great chance of getting a European spot. I feel, fair enough, that Dundalk, yeah, they missed a penalty and they missed a very, very good chance early on in the game. But I think Sligo were full credit for their victory on the day. And in young Ed McGuinty in the goal there, I think he's a fantastic potential. He saved three Pat Hooban penalties. That obviously was 100% in Pat Hooban's mind when he was taking it. And yeah, he's going to have a big future ahead of him.
Yeah, there's Sligo, I think they're a form team since the league restarted. Their scoring goals were fun. And as Conan said there, Coughlin has turned into a player that many who've seen him at Cork would know he was capable of. But he's absolutely tormenting defences at the moment.
Yeah, he looked a good signing for Cork at the time. And sometimes, you know, clubs fit better than others, or systems fit, or players around you fit better in terms of improving your game and getting you playing at the level you can play at. And as Conan said there, they've got depth now as well. I think, you know, you look throughout the squad, if a guy is out, then there's someone else who can come in there. They've got three or four who can play across the top. Colley in midfield and Morahan, you know, gives him kind of that base to work with. And then, you know, as we mentioned, John Mahan, who was going so well before that really bad injury, you know, they've got him back on the pitch or back training and back on the grass, and another one who's ready to go. But, you know, he's going to have to work to get back in that team now.
Yeah, and when you look then, we go to Friday evening's game in Tala. Shamrock Rovers up ahead of Bohemians as well as Dundalk, so needing to get a win or anything, points on the board. Nil all draw, more points dropped, but I'm taking it that Shelburne will be over the moon with sticking to the game plan, Conan, and going out and doing exactly what their managers asked them to do.
100%. Shells were absolutely superb. Defensively, they were very sound, and I think Ian Morrison and Craig Sexton tactically had it spot on. I thought, James, if they were brave enough as players, they could have went on and won the game when Shamrock Rovers went down to 10 men. I know Jay Cabia had a great opportunity to score just a little bit more composure in front of goal, and they could have nicked it. But they kind of still kept the same game plan at nil-all. They just didn't want to lose the game rather than just go on ahead and go for it. As for Rovers, I still do think they need a centre-forward, in my opinion. Like, Green has been brilliant for them. But when opposing teams sit deep and defend in numbers, I think that's where they are missing that goal poacher around the six-yard box, just to convert those crosses into the box. But I suppose in Green's defence, the quality has been extremely poor in wide areas. Neil Ferrugia, he's all the pace in the world, but sometimes his touch lets him down at the wrong time, and his end product certainly needs to improve. And on that, Jack Byrne looks a frustrated figure at times too, throwing his arms out and... just in frustration and desperation. And I think he needs to stay patient and calm right till the end of the games. And I think teams are going to imitate Shells and Pat's game plan, because it worked for them so well. 2-0 all result, 2-0 all draws. And look, you're going to take a point against Shamrock Rovers with the players and the form that they're in. And they're going to have to find a way of breaking down teams that defend deep.
Yeah, they had the vast majority of the ball, Shamrock Rovers did, at home, as you would expect. But no real penetration. And when they did get through, Colin McKay was there in the Shelburne goal, standing between them and putting the ball in the back of net. He had a super game.
Yeah, he really did. He really did. And, you know, that confidence is then, you know, it goes through the team. If you know your goalkeeper's on a good run or having one of those good nights. Just before, if I could mention on Shelburne as well, I think, you know, the fact that they were coming up and they had some young, exciting players and a young, very well-regarded manager coming in, and Craig Sexton, as you said, with him there as well. I think the signing of Gary Deegan was absolutely massive, because I think you put him into that midfield. I think there are, you know, some of those Shamrock Rovers midfielders the following morning waking up, opening the door and expecting Gary Deegan to be there staring at them, because he was just that he was just that guy, you know. He put the fear of God in me, and you're just watching the game on the television, because he is that one. And if you've got that one in there, I think that's massive for the rest of the team. So I thought they were really, really good. And it'd be good to see now how the rest of the season unfolds for them. From a Shamrock Rovers point of view, I did the game at Richmond Park, the scoreless draw there. And I think it was interesting. I think the substitution of Georgie Kelly kind of said a lot to me from Stephen O'Donnell's point of view, because Shane Griffith had been sent off. So instead of changing somewhere else on the pitch, he takes off his striker, doesn't play with a striker, puts two wide men on to pack that midfield, because you see what Shamrock Rovers have done the last few seasons. They've been able to recruit some of the best midfielders available, but they're all kind of central midfielders and they all want to play in and around the same areas. So for Stephen Bradley to try and get all these really talented players into the team, you've got to do something. So he's playing three at the back and one up top, and, you know, just trying to squeeze everyone into that team. And I think from a Pat's point of view, and Shells would have seen it, you know, there's a way to play against that. Now you're sacrificing possession and you're sacrificing the ball, and you've really got to work hard for 90 minutes, but it is possible. I mean, from Shamrock Rovers' point of view, the Pat's game, they were excellent. They were excellent. It was a night where it was everything but the goal, and Pat's defended heroically. But you're going to get those games now, and it'll be interesting to see when they play their European game coming up, because of the Watch LOI service now, opposition will be able to see all these games that the Irish teams are playing. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how that team approach Shamrock Rovers, and if Shamrock Rovers have the same amount of the ball, if defensively that's how the opposition set up.
And we go back to the early game on Friday, Derry City versus Cork City. It was a good week for Derry, as it was, with Declan Devine getting extension to his contract. But then just 3 minutes in, it looked like it was all going to go pear-shaped for Derry. Another set piece, another goal given away. Conor, how do you address it? Is this a case of centre-halves and defenders now just going, oh no, not another set piece?
It's like that, isn't it? Because they're really struggling in that area. Like Peter Cherry, as Des said a couple of minutes ago, your goalkeeper breeds confidence in the rest of the team, especially on set pieces, coming out and claiming them and punching clear. But Peter Cherry, unfortunately, he didn't cover himself in glory at all, and Alouk had an easy goal after only 3 minutes. And yeah, you're up against it. They've only won, that was only their third win of the season. They've been very inconsistent. They've had no back-to-back wins. In fact, every time they win, they lose the subsequent game. So that doesn't bode well for Europe this week, but hopefully I'm wrong. But they needed a bit of luck, James, after the defeat to Rovers at home 2 weeks ago, after Colm Horgan's own goal. And funnily enough, Kevin O'Connor's goal was an exact replica of that one. And they were very, very lucky to get it at that particular time. And straight away, Adam Hamill, then he looked very threatening against Shells last weekend. He hit the woodwork twice. He had a simple tap in after a superb work by Mete. And Akintunde, like, I questioned whether or not Declan Devine was why didn't he go after Junior, considering he finished top goal scorer last season. But in fairness, Akintunde has got 2 goals in 3 games, and he's flying. And yeah, I think Derry will be fine if they just get their consistency better, and they just need to go on a little run. And if they do that, they'll be fine. But I'm absolutely delighted for Declan Devine being offered a new deal, and because he fully deserved it.
Yeah, Des, from a Cork point of view, you come off 2 great results over the week before. You go into the lead, but again, it's just that they're not holding. It's their first away goal since last August, but then they just can't hold on to leads like that anymore.
It's a difficult one for Cork, I suppose, because they'd found a bit of form and they'd found a route to goal, which had been sorely lacking in the first few games. So I don't know, from Neil Fenn's point of view, can you kind of put that game and that result to the side now and move on to the next one and just try and accentuate the positives? I think that's what he's got to try and do. But yeah, I mean, they're in a real scrap down there now. And I think we knew from the start of the season, there was 2 or 3 years there in a row where you could pick the Cork 11, set it from week to week, and you knew exactly who was who and what position they were playing in. But there's so many new players coming in there and players coming in from England that, you know, it's going to take a while to get things together, but they don't have a while now because the games are running out.
They are indeed, and it's like, it puts them bottom of the league. They're briefly off it until Sunday afternoon. But Bohemians, at home to Pats. Talking about taking advantage of the elements, shall we say. I think, Conan, you've taken the advantage of the elements in Daly Mount Park before.
Breslin's
goal in 16 minutes, definitely taking advantage of the elements. What do you think?
Look, he admitted himself, it was a cross-come shot. But you get your luck, as I said. Derry got their luck up in the Roy McBride Stadium, and Bowes certainly got their luck on with the first goal. Now, there was no luck in their performance. I thought that they were absolutely outstanding. Are they title contenders? A lot of people are asking. Of course they are. And as Des said there about Cork, you don't know who's playing on a given week. With Bohemians, they have the same team every week, and their names just roll off the tongue. I think Casey and Cornwell are like a young McGuinness and Ken O'Mahon from the 2008 days. I think they've been absolutely rocks at the back for them. I think Keith Ward has been rejuvenated now this season. I think he's been excellent, keeping Danny Mandroyo out of the team and Dawson Devoy. They have the two best wingers in the league as well at the moment. I do think that they need to work hard on their crossing as well. I'm a winger, so I'm obviously always focusing on that area. I think the end product in the league this season has been pretty poor. And Twardock had loads of opportunities to get the ball in the box, but he wasn't able to beat the first man. And Andre Wright could be top goal scorer this season if they start to deliver crosses accurately. But they've been excellent to watch. The pair of them, Keith Buckley loves to spray that crossfield pass to Twardock, and he's so direct and he's so quick, and he works his socks off, and there's goals in that top three. But they're not just great in attack, they're strong in defence, and McGuinness keeping James Talbot out of the team too. And even if you look at their sub bench, James, they have, as I said, Mandroyo and Devoy, they have James Finnerty, and they have Dinny Corcoran, an absolute goal machine, and he can't get a look in at the moment. So this Bowes team are serious contenders for the title, and if they're going to go up to Tala in a couple of weeks' time, and they're going to give a very, very good account of themselves.
Des, you spoke about Steve O'Donnell earlier about the Shamrock Rovers game and the fact that when he went down to 10 men, he took off the striker. He's not going to be happy about that performance by St. Pat's. They really created nothing. And even Georgie Kelly during the game just looked so out of it and head down and just didn't seem enthused to be even on the ground at the time.
Yeah, after the game against Shamrock Rovers, they played nearly all of that second half with 10 men after Shane Griffin was sent off. But I spoke to Stevie O'Donnell after the game, and he said, look, he said that from a defensive point of view, I said it in the dressing room, that's exactly what we're looking for, that resilience and that ability and willingness to dig in and get something out of the game. But he said, we've got to be better on the ball. And, you know, for a player who played the way he did, that's going to be frustrating for him that they're not doing that. And I looked at Chris Forrester and Robbie Benson, you know, two extremely talented players on the ball in that game. They hardly saw it, but they sacrificed themselves to get something from it. But like Conan said, I think from the Bohemians' point of view, if you look at it and you go through that team, what Keith Long and Trevor Crawley have done is they've not just recruited correctly, but they've looked ahead and they've seen potentially where they might have to work on from last season to this. So you look at James Talbot, massive signing last season, played a huge part in how well they went. He gets injured against Shamrock Rovers' first game. McGuinness comes in and he's been there ever since. He's hardly conceded a goal. Derek Pender retires. They've got Andy Lyons ready to go. James Finnerty, brilliant last season, can't break the Casey Cornwall partnership. Daryl Leahy moves on. They've got Anto Breslin to come in, who I think Keith Long had been an admirer of for a few years. So he got his man in that regard. Conor Levingston last year, JJ Lunny comes back. So Levingston isn't seeing much game time. And as Conan said, Danny Grant absolutely flying. He was great last year, but he's just stepped it up another level this year. And Chris Twardock may be the signing of the season.
Exactly. And I think Wright was probably just up there as well. And as Conan said, if balls get into the box, he's the ideal man to put them away. He seems an absolute, even his goal the other day, it's not as if he was left for free header. He worked really, really hard to get it. And Conan, that's the type of goal you want in the box for you to deliver balls into, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. He just completely outmuscled Lee Desmond for the goal. And he just goes to show his strength. But I'd be very frustrated if I was Andre Wright, because I feel as if that I should be scoring more goals than I am. And it's not. He's brilliant at hold-up play. He's strong. He lays off, he gets himself in the box, and then the balls aren't coming in the way they should be. And yes, as I said, Twardock and Grant are absolutely superb, and they give that out ball that Bohemians need in the team sometimes. Keith Buckley, as I said, he sprays them out. JJ Lunny on the other side. So they complement each other, both a right-footed Keith Buckley and a left-footed JJ Lunny. And they're just an attacking force, but it's as if that they're so quick that they don't slow down just to look up and see what's in the box, and nearly like a panic cross. And as I said, Andre Wright could have a could have a hatful of goals if they can just sort out that end product.
Well, we'd round off the weekend's action from the RSC. Waterford taking on Finn Harps and talk about the beautiful game. Ollie Horgan was speaking to John Kenny.
The second half probably were the better side. First half, Waterford were the better side. You know, we were lucky to be only one down, to be fair, John, you know. But maybe we got a little bit of luck in the second half that maybe didn't go our way up to now. It's not saying that we were unlucky to lose games. I'm not saying that, but just a little rub of the green probably didn't go our way that eventually did today for a change, John, you know.
There's no doubt about it. The strategy was long balls into the box and everything, waiting for something to drop, and it didn't look like it was going to happen, did it?
Well, we tried to play the beautiful game, John. I don't know what game you were watching there, you know. Look, we eventually got back into it. From our point of view, we conceded a very poor goal to go 2-1 down. I know John took it well. We'd have been very disappointed with the concession of that, and, you know, thankfully we responded for it. Probably a draw, 2-2 result would have been a fair result. But then again, we should have got draws maybe in the last couple of weeks that we didn't get. So, look, we move on, John. We've a hell of a battle, but at least we're hanging in there to battle, to put it that way.
Ollie Horgan, always box office after his interviews. Conan, this wasn't a great game until the last 9 minutes, really. There was no chances really created by either team. And then with 9 minutes to go, it just broke into a mental game against football.
It was sloppy, wasn't it? It was kept giving the ball away and didn't seem to be trying to, that those penetrating passes weren't coming in. It was slow and it was difficult to watch at times. Being totally honest with you, I think the loss of Brian Murphy has been massive for Waterford. Like, I remember right up until the first week of the season, Tadhg Ryan thought he was number one. And then Brian comes in 2 days before the opener and goes straight in. That will damage your confidence as a goalkeeper. And ultimately, Tadhg Ryan has really struggled since Murphy's injury. He was possibly at fault for the first and third goals yesterday. If you remember back, Alex Cooper's free kick in injury time at the Showgrounds last week, he didn't cover himself in glory there, and he wasn't convincing in Oriel Park. So he really needs to get a bit of confidence under his belt now going into into the next few games, because Waterford, they haven't won in 5. They're getting dragged down into the relegation battle, and where a couple of weeks ago they had a great result up in Talca Park, and you'd expect them nearly to push on. Their last 3 games, James, they've conceded 7 goals in the last 12 minutes. And worse than that, if game was 75 minutes long, they would have 9 points. Instead, they only have 1. Fitness must be an issue down at Waterford. They're just conceding too many late goals. And, John Sheridan has a job in his hands.
Definite job in his hands. Dez Webster comes back. He starts the revival for Finn Harps, a former Waterford player. I'm not too sure the ball was over the line, but it's given. And as I said, Martin, a couple of minutes later, equalises, and then Cogler and Delap go on and win it, basically, for Finn Harps. 3 vital, vital points for Ollie, and another rabbit out of the hat moment for him.
Yeah, it's a huge result for Harps, isn't it? And, you expect the majority of their points, you'd fancy, would come up in Ballybofey, but to win on the road is a massive boost to that team now as well. Now, I'll admit, I haven't seen the goals in this one. I was listening to John Kenny's updates on the radio yesterday as I was driving, and every time they went to John, it was 1-0, still 1-0, still 1-0, and then it all went nuts at the end. So delighted for John that there was that flurry of goals at the end for him to keep an eye on. But, you know, as like I said, for Harps to go away and to win a game like that will do an awful lot for them. And for Waterford, I mean, that's very interesting what Conan pointed out there, the concession of so many late goals. And like he said, with Derry maybe in set pieces and that, that's something that will start to just creep into the minds now. It's something they've got to eradicate and put right pretty quickly.
It is indeed. We're going to move on now from league action. We'll just quickly touch on the European games and ask the guys what they think. Obviously, Derry tomorrow night against Ritterai of Lithuania. Bows on Thursday have Fehervar in Hungary, and Rovers on Thursday are home as well to Temper. Conan, what's your thoughts on this? Obviously, Derry, a little bit wishy-washy because of the results they're getting, but not only that, only yesterday getting permission to actually fly to Lithuania and play this game.
Yeah, absolutely. First things first, I think it's great that the clubs involved have got that streaming service in place for fans and fans of the league to be able to watch these games. So that's absolutely terrific. But yeah, with Derry City going to Ritterai, I think it'll nearly G them up a little bit more knowing that they actually are going. That touch and go kind of scenario where you'd be like, are we doing? Are we going? Are we not? And then finally getting the green light, your anticipation grows and you can't wait to get out and play. I think Derry City will do well. I know that they don't really bounce back. They don't really do well after a win, which I pointed out very very early earlier on. But I think that they'll put up a good. They should win. James is what I'm trying to say. I think going out to Rittaroy, yeah, I do fancy Derry. Again, I fancy Shamrock Rovers as well. Home game. They have I don't think that Shamrock Rovers will kind of have as much possession as they would have usually have. So they'll be able to counter really, really quickly. And as I said, I don't think they'll have any issues there. And Bowles, I think they have the hardest draw, James, out of the three. Ferrer are a quality side in Hungary, and they'll certainly be up against it. Now, I wouldn't rule anything out considering the season that they're having already, the explosive wingers that they have in their team. Yeah, so I've a sneaky suspicion that Bowes might grab a draw, maybe bring it to extra time, but the other two I feel should win.
So, quick one, Des. Yours, he's got two wins in the extra time. What's your opinion?
Yeah. Actually, we're eternal optimists, aren't we? As we were before Dundalk faced Shelley. And again, you know, we have to factor in that we haven't had enough time to have a look at the opposition yet and see exactly what they will bring and what state of health they're in. But I think Bohemians are going travelling, as Conan said, it's a tough one on paper, but they're going there defensively solid and carrying a threat and in great form since the return of football. And from Derry's point of view, you know, they'll want to maybe roll back the years and have a little European run like they did when Kevin Deary was part of the team. He's the assistant manager there now, isn't he? You know, the year they got to play Paris Saint-Germain, and, you know, they've done all right since reaching the European final this week. And Shamrock Rovers, actually, I'd be confident about Shamrock Rovers because I think just the way they play, and even if they don't have as much of the ball, you know, I'd be confident that the way they play, that they can go really well in their fixture. I think they've got players who are comfortable on the ball, and if we talk about playing a European style, then they play a European style. And I think as well, I look at Aaron Green, and I think I'd have a lot of time for Aaron Green. I think he worked really hard for that team, and maybe what he does isn't reflected in the amount of goals that he has scored. But I think in a situation like this, I think he could maybe have a good night as well.
Well, that's our European hopes all on the line come tomorrow night and Thursday. Obviously, we're recording this on Monday. Now, with a little bit of a change of tact, lads. Question for you. Salt Hill, Devon, Galway, Arsenal, Bordeaux, Chelsea and Liverpool. Which player? Anybody? No? No? And I could have added in an All-Ireland medal, a Women's FAI Cup medal, a Women's Premier League medal, an FA Cup medal and a league medal. Niamh, welcome to the RTE Soccer Podcast.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
How are you doing? How are you back to pre-season now as well?
Back to pre-season, just wrapping up with a few final games before the 5th. So, well into the latter stages of it.
Obviously, big news for you this week. Captaining what you would say is your childhood club, your favourite club?
Yeah, massive honour, like massive privilege. Would have grown up supporting Liverpool all through my childhood years. So, absolutely delighted, like absolutely over the moon. So, great honour.
How has it been for you? You've obviously moved to Arsenal earlier on in your career and played most of your football in England. Has it shown a benefit to the Irish game and to the women's game here that so many of your current international teammates are playing there as well?
I think so. You just see the amount of girls now that are playing professionally over in England, and it's made a massive difference to our Irish team, which is the most competitive squad we've ever had. And the more people that are playing professionally, the better it is for us as a national group. So, I think it's made a big difference. And there's so many of us now, like playing in different leagues, even in the US, like with Denise O'Sullivan, playing in the top leagues in the world. So it's made a massive difference.
Yeah, and you obviously see Rihanna playing at Brighton. And was your injury? You had an injury at Arsenal early on. Was it quite similar to her injuries?
Yeah, I had a cruciate, but to be fair, Rihanna's had. You know, she's had three cruciates, but she's had obviously the bad end of the stick. But I've seen her recently. She's in great shape, and she's really like thriving being in a full time environment. So it's great for her, and obviously need a bit of luck now as well. Stay injury free. She's a top class player.
I know you were over the moon last year signing for Liverpool, but the truncated season and then what went with it. How did you get over it mentally that you guys were relegated without actually being relegated on the pitch?
Yeah, it was a sickener. I don't know, it was obviously, not in good form for a couple of weeks, but you kind of just have to accept it, don't you? After a while, you get your head around it, knowing that your hands are tied, the decision's kind of made for you. So sickened obviously the first few weeks, but everyone's kind of past that now and just have to focus on the challenge, which is get ourselves back up to the top flight.
And it's something you have to bounce back from quick, really, isn't it?
Exactly. Like there's no point dwelling on it. We're not going to be able to change it, unfortunately. So yeah, we just have to hopefully bounce back straight away.
As far as football is concerned, it's quite odd at the moment. You obviously have not only the league restarting, we see on Tuesday night, I think it was, that the Champions League semi-finals were being played. I don't know if you caught the game between Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain, but it's good to see the likes of Katie McCabe playing in that. And it's good to see our players playing at the top level in Europe, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I watched the game, and obviously a tough night when Arsenal are up against the strong PSG team, but no, they're brilliant, doing great, representing us on European level, top level competition. So there's plenty more players as well doing that across the world, so it's great for the Irish team.
And speaking of the Irish team, a couple of games coming up, obviously Germany and Ukraine are next on the list. The professionalism in the background seems to have got there now, as far as you players are concerned. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. It's gone on, leaps and bounds compared to how it was with in the earlier stages, and obviously the recent stuff that's been highlighted is well documented. But thankfully, that's all changed now.
And the difference between obviously Colin Bell coming in as the first manager, where the organisation actually started taking it seriously. Colin Bell came in, has obviously been taken over by Vera Powell. Is there much difference between the way the two of them manage?
Yeah, I think so. There's just obviously different style in terms of Colin is definitely someone who's more vocal, whereas Vera is definitely a lot quieter on the sideline. But they've subtle differences, but both are top class managers as well in their own respect and a great level of experience. So we're lucky to have both of them, and obviously great to have Vera now leading us.
Obviously sitting in a very good position in the table as the leaders, Germany to come up next. How are you guys feeling? You obviously won't come into camp for a couple of weeks, but have you been speaking to the other players about these games, and how are you feeling about, one, getting back to playing football as well as playing internationals?
Yeah, we've had contact in our WhatsApp groups, and the managers have been linking in with us, getting ready for the game, because it's coming up quickly now. But it's a bit of a strange preparation, obviously, with all the different things with COVID. But no, we're looking forward to meeting up with the girls again, and obviously what's going to be a massive game against Germany.
You obviously mentioned how becoming captain of Liverpool is a great achievement, but out of everything I listed earlier, what's your main favourite achievement you've done?
There's been so many, I suppose, from a football perspective. I think winning in Wembley, obviously, first Irish female to win in Wembley with Chelsea was a really proud achievement, an FA Cup. So the recent football one, I probably pick that.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time today on the RT Soccer Podcast.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, guys.
Conan, have you got that many medals?
You put me on the spot now. I'm only messing. it's an incredible career she's had, isn't it?
It's just phenomenal. When you think about going back, and several players, especially in the women's team, like Claire Shine comes out to me as one in particular who has played in Croke Park as well, with Cork, and with Niamh playing there with Galway and winning in the 0-4 final. She actually lost the 0-5 final, I think. But Des, have you, what's your medal tally like?
That's okay. I remember I did win an under-12 cup final at Turner's Cross back in the day, which still is maybe my proudest achievement.
Wow, fantastic. Someone winning something at Turner's Cross. It's been a long time since that happened. Speaking of...
The stand wasn't there at the time. Let me just point that out.
Oh, it was the old mud hill. Pat Morley still probably claiming you didn't win it. But anyway, we've spoken about the Ireland games there and what's coming up for the women away to Germany and then away to Ukraine in September and October. Obviously, coming up for the Irish men's team is Stephen Kenny's first games in charge, Bulgaria away and then Finland at home. There's a couple of comments during the week by former Irish international Jason McAteer. And we caught up once again with Vinnie Part to see what his thoughts on Jason McAteer's comments on Stephen Kenny were.
The comments were shocking and they were disrespectful. And I think there is an audience for them comments. That's the problem. Irish football has come a huge way and we still continue, and a lot of people who support it continue to make the same mistakes, and they look to the UK and
the old pros on these panels and on these in studio talking about the game, and but it's moved on and it's changed. And I remember 4 years ago, myself and Stephen, as you rightly said, were so close. We spent a week in Spain in a training camp, and we were there with a Swedish club called Östersund. And Graham Potter, who's now the Brighton manager, was at that club, a pretty average Swedish club. But he was so forward-thinking, like Stephen, and he'd done a similar job to Stephen. He ended up getting the Swansea job and ended up now, you know, keeping Brighton in the probably the greatest league in the world. And that's because people at Brighton are forward-thinking, and they looked at someone and how different they are. And the game has changed. And, you know, the old days of... these people talk about the old Jack Charlton days, and they do the after-dinner speaking and they do the circuit and make money out of it. But it's so disrespectful. And we've got to start thinking of the people in Ireland and the good coaching. And we have to learn from the GAA. And I know it's not played on a global level, but if Brian Cody or Jim Gavin were given the international job to run GAA, no one would ever question it. Stephen Kenny is right exactly what Ireland needs now and part of the rebuild. He is the perfect manager for that job. And people will say, that's him looking after his own mate and that. But it's far from it. In fact, we should learn from what Wales done when they nearly won the European Championships. Look what Northern Ireland done. They stuck with a manager, gave him a long-term contract and let him rebuild Irish football. Stephen Kenny is exactly what Ireland need. Not a lad trying to make a name for him. He even made reference to, I heard the interview, I know this is going to grab the headlines. That's why it's done. It's to stay relative. It's to stay, you know, on these panels. But it's just so disrespectful for Irish football. And we need to learn from it ourselves and look at ourselves and understand. We belong at the our coaches and managers belong at this level. And what Stephen has achieved means he is rightly in the position he's in, and he deserves it, to be honest with you. So couldn't be any stronger than that without a few expletives, John. So that's the best way I can put it to you.
Des, somebody trying to stay relevant, or is this the way the League of Ireland has actually looked at across in the UK?
Maybe a bit of both. Maybe, sadly, that still is the case. You'd wonder, has Jason McAteer ever met Stephen Kenny? Has he sat down and spoken football with him, you know, about how he sees the game, what his views are on the game, how he'd like to play the game? My guess would be that he hasn't. And I think from Stephen's point of view, I think from the vast majority in the country, we're all excited to see how this Ireland team is going to go under Stephen Kenny. I mean, I remember my first meeting with Stephen, I think, was in the Spa Hotel out in Lucan when he was the Longford Town manager. And I think they were preparing, they'd played, was it Litex Lovech or someone in Europe, they'd drawn them. So we were out to just to do a quick interview for that. And I ended up sitting there for half an hour, maybe 40 minutes with him. And you knew straight away, look, this guy is in this game, you know, this is his game. And it's great to see where he's gone from there. And I think the style of play he showed with the 21s and the style of play he showed with Dundalk and just the way he approaches games and the way, like I said, he's totally in the game is very exciting for us. And it's sad to see that there is a section out there that, you know, be it based not in Ireland or in Ireland, that are kind of, you know, saying, oh, no, this isn't going to work. This is going to fail. You know, what's to be gained from that, you'd wonder. And I don't know what's to be gained from Jason McAteer coming out with comments like that either.
Conan, just a nonsense comment we should ignore and just put to the side?
Oh, I'm not having the argument at all. Like, gone are the days where you can't manage because you didn't play at a high level. Like, you heard the usual suspects of years ago, the likes of like Jose Mourinho, Arsene Wenger, Gerard Houllier even, but more recent ones like Julian, like look at the Champions League final yesterday of Julian Nagelsmann and Thomas Tuchel. Both retired before their 25th birthdays. Julian Nagelsmann suffered with knee injuries and retired at 19, went into coaching and went up through the ranks at Augsburg 2 in Germany and catapulted his way through the coaching ranks. Like, Stephen Kenny has done similar. Like, he has had incredible success both domestically and in European competition, where he has had loads of experience and possibly even more experience than some Premier League managers. Like, take Frank Lampard, for instance. He's only in the job a year, I know. But Stephen Kenny has more European experience than Frank Lampard does as a manager. But I think just McAteer is very, very lazy with his opinions. And yeah, trying to stay relevant would be one. And even with players nowadays, James, like, you don't earn respect as a manager anymore due to your playing career. You earn it with your coaching techniques, your leadership, the communication in terms of your man management. That's how you earn respect for your players. It's not due playing careers anymore.
Yeah, and I'm going to use that little segue of the Champions League final to look back at last night's game in Lisbon.
Kimmich though crosses to the back post. Header is in. It's there. Bayern take the lead through Kingsley Coman. And the Frenchman in the German champions team has given Bayern the lead in the Champions League final. A close range header from an angle. It's PSG 0, Bayern Munich 1.
And of course, that's the way it finished, with Bayern picking up their sixth title, emulating Liverpool, but are a bit behind AC Milan and Real Madrid still. Conan, your thoughts on the final? I know you quite enjoyed it, I believe.
I did, I did. I really enjoyed it. I thought PSG were excellent in the first half. They had two wonderful opportunities, but they're guilty of missing big chances in big games. You saw that Neymar's misses against Atalanta. Even against RB Leipzig, they should have scored a hell of a lot more, and they need to be more clinical, especially with the likes of Neymar, Mbappe, Di Maria in the team. I thought Bayern's goal, though, was absolutely superb. Thiago's initial pass, Thomas Muller's first touch to Joshua Kimmich, I thought that was absolutely outstanding. And just the composure for the cross to the back post, and then Kingsley Coman, under massive pressure from Kerrer, knocks it into the far corner with his head. It was a great, great goal and fully deserving winners. And on the day, I thought Thiago was absolutely outstanding. I don't know why Bayern would let him go. I don't know why Thiago would want to go, considering the success that they've had. And at the mess, like, they've won everything, like, considering where they were back in October, November. What the job that the man has done has been unbelievable. And the best team in the competition has won.
Yeah, it's unusual that a team would go winning every single game. Des, what was your thoughts on the game? A bit cagey game?
I mean, it was built up as, you know, this could be a 4-3 classic or something. It didn't turn out that way, but, you know, those things happen. I think there were a few big performances in terms of Bayern. I think Manuel Neuer, who mightn't have had a whole lot to do as the season went on, can you consider Bayern their last 30 games of the season, they won 29 and drew one. They hadn't lost a game since December. So you're just in that flow of winning and scoring a multitude of goals. But Neuer came up with some big moments. You know, he's had his critics as he's got a little bit older. He had a bad injury a couple of years ago, but, you know, he's come back from that now and just showed he was a big man for the big occasion. And I think from Kingsley Coman's point of view, maybe a fitting goal scorer because he missed out on the 2018 World Cup through injury. And I'm a massive fan. I mean, Conan's a winger, so he'll speak more about it. But I love those old-fashioned wingers. And Coman is one of those where he knows he's so quick that his tactic, you know, you can see it time and again. He'll get the ball and he'll stop. And the fullback will come to him. And once he's within a yard of him, he knocks it and he's gone. You saw it. He may have had a penalty last night. It's just that acceleration. And it's just taking the game to its simplest level that I'm quicker than you. And I can knock this past you and I'll go. So I was delighted from his point of view. Nothing to do with his, you know, former Paris Saint-Germain connections or, you know, where he's from or anything like that. Just from having to miss out on the World Cup and everything that went with that to have his big moment now.
Yeah, a good moral win, I would suggest, for football more than anything else.
That was one of the big storylines coming into this final as well. Who's backing these teams? And I think the more people were aware of that story, the more fans that Bayern Munich had. But I think over the course of what they've done since January, since Hansi Flick came in, I think they've just been deserving of what they've won this season. They weren't, you know, Leipzig were ahead of the Bundesliga table at the winter break, and, you know, they had a good second half to the season, maybe drew too many games, but it was just that relentlessness of Bayern. Once the year turned, and, you know, most people have endured 2020, I think they've really enjoyed it. Break or no break, they got back quickly in Germany, of course, and they just haven't looked back.
As I said, I thought about they were brilliant. No, Des was mentioned there, comparing me and with wingers and all that, but I can't compare to Kingsley Coman. I said I've never had pace in my life, so I haven't had the opportunity to stand someone up and go again because they just catch me, so I've had to adapt. But no, I agree with
just to see that, Conan. I think just to see a player like that is just, and, you know, because he's so explosive, he's lost a chunk of his career to injuries. You know, he gets these hamstring injuries and these muscle pulls and that. But just to see a guy, I think it's just almost a throwback to see a guy playing like that.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm only messing. I completely agree. I think he's even Serge Gnabry on the other side. I love the way he comes in off the line. That's something that I'd probably do more. And he comes in a lot more, and he can use it. He's fantastic off both feet,
And yeah, as I said, Bayern were the old cliche, but the best team won. Throughout the whole competition, they've been absolutely superb. Manuel Neuer at the back, agree with Des. A lot of people have been saying that he's not as good as he was. But even when Mbappe was offside there in the game, and Neuer's that right leg that spreads out, I don't understand though why people just don't think it over him. Because he's just has that knack of getting out that right leg anytime that people are trying to put it past him. But yeah, I just thought I really enjoyed the tactical side of the game yesterday between two very, very good young managers in Nagelsmann and Tuchel. And yeah, I really enjoyed the final.
Coming up this week, it's away from league action and into the Extra.ie FEI Cup second round, where Athlone take on Wexford, Galway United take on Shelburne on Friday evening, Drogheda United versus Derry City, Bray Wanderers versus Finn Harps on Saturday, Cove Ramblers versus Dundalk, UCD versus Sligo Rovers on Sunday, and then on Monday, finishing off a weekend of football, Shamrock Rovers versus Cork on Monday, with Bohemians taking on Cabinteely. Also on Monday, just have time, lads, to ask you one quick question before we go. Are you Team Jedward or Team Core?
Jedward all the way, and I never thought I'd say that.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much for joining me on the RTE Soccer Podcast. Until next week, goodbye.